Drones activity in New Zealand is growing faster and faster each year. That's both commercial drone flying and recreational flying. In both cases, the operator of the drone, which incidentally we also refer to as an unmanned aircraft or just UA, is regarded as a pilot and as being part of New Zealand's aviation system. So if you get a drone for Christmas, you will be a pilot and will be sharing the sky with traditional aviation. Obviously, everyone needs to be safe. So you're about to hear what you can do as your bit to ensure that safety. This is Vector Online, and this is the interview, If You Fly a Drone, You're a Pilot. I'm Pen Mackay. With me is Corey Price, who's the CAA's team leader of the Unmanned Aircraft Unit, and Scott Griffith, who's the deputy director of the CAA's Emerging Technologies Program. Corey, we at the Civil Aviation Authority divide operators of drones between Part 101 operators and Part 102 operators. Can you briefly describe the difference?
So here in New Zealand, we've got two rules that we operate under, Civil Aviation Rule Part 101 and Part 102. Part 101 operations are very prescriptive. They tell you what you can and can't do when you're flying a drone. So for example, the rules say you're not allowed to fly a drone at night. You must have consent from people and property owners before you fly over any person or over any property. There are rules around how close you can fly to an aerodrome, for example. Part 102 is the rule that we use to certificate a drone organisation. So a Part 102 Unmanned Aircraft Operator Certificate allows us to consider a safety case from an operator and assess that operator's ability to be able to do what they would like to do. So that might be flying at night, for example, and that operator will be expected to show us how they will mitigate the risks of their particular operation and reduce those risks to an acceptable level.
And your Part 101 operators, would they be, generally speaking, would they be recreational, and your Part 102 operators generally would be your commercial?
Yeah, certainly there's more commercial operators operating under the Part 102 rules. However, in saying that, there's nothing that would stop someone that's operating recreationally from obtaining a Part 102 Unmanned Aircraft Operator Certificate. But those people that are operating recreationally tend to be operating more often than not under the Part 101 rules.
Okay. So we're speaking here mainly to Part 101 operators. These are the people that are likely to receive a drone, say, at Christmas time. But some of the drones are quite small. Why do they have to comply with civil aviation rules? Why do we regard them as pilots? I mean, surely some of these drones are almost toys and they can't do that much damage or be that much of a nuisance.
Yeah, for a lot of people, they see unmanned aircraft drones as toys. And that perception's probably helped to some extent by the fact that you buy these things quite often from a toy shop. So I completely understand why people might buy a drone and then have this belief that they're just operating a toy. Unfortunately, that just isn't the case. When you're operating a drone, you're operating an aircraft, and just like any other aircraft, you're a pilot. And being a pilot means that you have all sorts of responsibilities and obligations that are placed upon you to ensure that people on the ground and other airspace users are kept safe.
What is the safety risk that these rules are trying to mitigate?
So there's two areas of risk that we're looking to manage. Air risk is probably the most obvious one that most people can turn their mind to straight away. If you operate a drone and you're flying it up in the air where there are other traditional crewed aircraft operating, then your drone poses a risk to those aircraft. If there was a collision, if you were to crash your drone into an aircraft carrying people on board, there is a real risk that your drone could damage that aircraft to such an extent that that aircraft would crash and people would be hurt or killed. Now, the other risk that we're managing, though, that people often overlook is the ground risk. So when you're flying a drone, there is a mass to that aircraft. that you're operating. And if you're flying it around in the air above people and property, and something goes wrong and it falls out of the sky, there's a risk that someone on the ground will be again be hurt or killed, or that someone's property is going to be damaged. So those are the broadly speaking the two areas of risk that we're trying to manage.
Okay, thanks, Corey. I want to talk for a moment about privacy, because that's another area that the public is very concerned about. What does the CAA have to say about privacy concerns?
Yeah, look, and this is a really good question, and it's one of the areas where the Civil Aviation Authority receives a huge amount of complaints from members of the public concerned about the fact that their privacy may have been breached in some way by a drone that's flown across their property or over them without their consent. Now, what's important for people to understand here is that Civil Aviation Authority isn't responsible for privacy or investigating breaches of privacy. We're there to ensure that aviation activities are conducted safely. A good example of this is the rule that we talked about earlier, that you must have consent from any person or property owner that you fly over. A lot of people are mistaken in the belief that that is to protect their privacy. And that rule doesn't exist for that purpose. The reason it's there is so that people can make an informed decision about the risk that they may be exposed to if they were to allow you to fly your drone over top of them or over their property. So the rule requires you to get their permission before you do that. And then that way they get to have a choice as well as to whether they accept that level of risk.
Okay. So Scott, you have something to say about privacy as well.
Yeah, if we just think in a holistic sense here, so sort of ignore the civil aviation rules for a second and think about ourselves as good citizens. Privacy issues using a drone with a camera, exactly the same as any other camera. So if a person has a reasonable expectation of privacy, i.e. you're in a fenced off backyard that no one else could see, then we should respect that. On the other hand, if you're out in public, you could be photographed or filmed by anybody with a camera, including a drone. So while privacy is not our concern, we would like all drone pilots to act responsibly within those principles.
Okay, cool. So Scott, in terms of Part 101 operators who may get their drone at Christmas, if they want to be very responsible, obviously they'll look up the civil aviation rules that pertain to them on our website, and we'll have a link to those on this Vector Online page. But what else would you suggest that they could do?
I'd absolutely suggest going on a drone pilot course. It's one thing reading rules and reading the guidance that we have, and we've tried to make that as plain language as possible, but there's no substitute from getting actually trained by someone who can explain to you how to put all these things into practice. And there are several organisations around New Zealand that provide this training and in locations that hopefully is going to be suitable for someone. And those are listed on our website. And it'll make your flying more accurate, and it'll make it more fun, because you know that what you're doing is safe and you don't have to be concerned about, oh, am I breaching this rule or that rule, because you'll be confident in what you are doing. Additionally, the 101 rule, it doesn't mind whether you're using your drone commercially or recreationally. So while doing one of these courses isn't a CAA requirement, if you're doing this for a job, you've got conditions placed on you beneath the Health and Safety at Work Act. And doing one of these courses, particularly one of the high-end courses, will be a way of proving that you have actually taken those steps to ensure the safety of yourself and your staff and any third parties. And then finally, in all cases, passing a drone pilot course is one of the musts that you have to do if you want to fly within 4Ks of an aerodrome. There are other few things, but one of those musts is doing one of these courses.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Corey, is there anything that you would like to add at this point?
Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate what we were saying before, that if you are operating a drone, it's not a toy, it is an aircraft. You do have some responsibilities, and it's important that you go and spend the time to learn about the rules and operate that drone responsibly and safely.
All right then. Now the link to our drone safety webpage will be uploaded to the Vector online page for all you intending Part 101 pilots to read and factor into your flying practice, and any other material that we've referred to in the interview, the links to that will also be up in the same space. So my thanks to Corey Price and Scott Griffith for being here to explain a little more about Part 101 UA flying and how the pilots operating such flights can share the sky safely with crewed aviation. You can also listen to the interview BV Loss Operations and the GA Pilot with Corey, Scott and Mark Houston, one of our CAA Aviation Safety Advisors, and to a third interview, The Business with Drones, which is mainly about Part 102 flights, and that again is with Corey and Scott. This has been the Vector Online interview. If you fly a drone, you're a pilot. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.